Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Welcome in. It's Balloon Party 101 ESPN. The show is presented to you by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. My name is Tim McKernan. Standing across from me in the studio is Jackson Burkett. And you may have just heard the news from Randy Carricker, Dan McLaughlin, Brooke Grimsley, and Matt Rocchio on the opening drive. Whitey Herzog, the Hall of Fame Cardinal manager, passed away. And I would imagine that throughout the course of the broadcast today and throughout the course of the broadcast tonight with the Cardinals and A's, we will have tributes for a man that I think is close to universally beloved in St. Louis and throughout baseball, not just for who he was and the personality he had, but also for the style of baseball that he created and employed to lead to what felt like a decade of success here in St. Louis. Whitey Herzog is the reason why I, and I would imagine many of you listening and watching this show, fell in love with the game, or your love of the game intensified. I cannot say enough about him. And I just found out about 5 minutes ago, so this is straight on the fly. And I bet a lot of you feel the same way. As you hear that he passed away, you think about 1982, 1985, 1987, and those teams and the style of baseball that he employed at Busch Stadium, leading to success, but also excitement. In addition to the game and the way with which he managed Jackson, he also was just, he could tell stories and entertain with the absolute best of them. His players loved him, and the fans loved watching his players play for him. So even in years where they may not have been winning what was the National League East when the Cardinals were a part of it, the teams were entertaining to watch, and he loved talking baseball. Whitey Herzog dead at the age of 92 years old.
Bro, yeah, like you said it the best right there. Like, we talk so much about how St. Louis and baseball are synonymous together and the deep love and understanding of the game. So much of that stems from what Whitey Herzog did, you know, making people fall in love with baseball. And yeah, brutal, sad. And my dad coached and taught in New Athens, Illinois for many years, where Whitey is from, and spoke extremely highly of seeing Whitey all the place. His brother was very kind and both very down to earth. Whitey was so nice to my dad, my brother, when he was out there in New Athens, spoke nothing of the best. And my dad, obviously a lover of baseball, and a lot of that, same with my brother, directly because of Whitey Herzog and what he did and the style, like you said, the style of baseball that he created, talking about the game, you know, such a great ambassador for not only baseball, but St. Louis baseball. Lost a real legend today.
A number of texts coming in, and you are welcome to text in your favorite memories of Whitey Herzog. 314-399-9646, the Air Comfort Service text line, the YouTube channel. A number of people already talking in the YouTube channel as we speak with the conversation on Whitey Herzog. Dan Jansen, Whitey pulling Gary Templeton off the field by the collar was the best. That is certainly, I would imagine if you're thinking of favorite moments, that would certainly be one. Mm-hmm. For Cardinal fans, it also kind of was the beginning of the run in 82, 85, and 87. It was just the style of baseball with watching the pit of dirt on that AstroTurf at first base more than watching home plate, and how it had to torture teams to come and play the Cardinals, had to torture pitchers and catchers. And then the outfielders know that if a ball is hit and it's not directly at them, they better cut it off quick because the guy's going to be running for second base. Mm-hmm. It was just such an aggressive style of baseball that created excitement for the fans of the team and dread for the fans of the opposition. And it was effective. It wasn't gimmicky. It worked. I still believe it can work. And I loved it. I think if I would have had, and I'm sure plenty of, this is a little predates you, but if you were born, like I was born in 76, if you were born in 86, I don't know if your love for the game would have been as intense, because when you're a kid and you're growing up and you have those characters that came from the 1980s Cardinals, it made you love it even more. I mean, I know you were became a big St. Louis Rams fan. And you were super young when The Greatest Show on Turf was going. But if you were born, say, in 86 and, you know, you're a teenager, right, as 99 starting up, you have, I mean, it's one thing to win. It's another thing to win with flair, with excitement. We've talked about it because a couple of weeks ago he was in studio here at Hubbard Radio. He was up and down the hallways, Ozzie Smith. When you have kind of the face of that time period also be a great ambassador for the city, and still is in Ozzie Smith, that helps the cause as well. It was just pure enjoyment and excitement. And he was the composer of that symphony that was Cardinal baseball in the 1980s. Let's see what we got here. Whitey brought baseball back in St. Louis. It wasn't McGuire or the DeWitts. It was Whitey. That is from the 636. From the 314, a Whitey quote, speed does not go into a slump. From the 618, I truly hope he gets a lot of love and the respect from MLB that he deserves. Yeah, I would imagine, that's from the 618. I would imagine you will get a lot of tributes throughout the course of the day. You will hear from Ozzie Smith, Willie McGee, Vince Coleman. The guys loved him. There was an afternoon, it's still surreal to me that it happened. I was playing golf in 2004-ish, I think, at spring training. It was at Abacoa, for those of you who've been to Jupiter for spring training. It's the golf course that's right there by the Cardinals and Marlins Stadium. And I was out there, it was like 4 in the afternoon, I was by myself and I just wanted to go out and play real quickly. And I could tell, I think it was on the number one green, there was a guy playing by himself in front of me. And when I noticed the way he walked off the green, I go, oh my God, that's Willie McGee, because it's the most distinct walk you can see if you're from St. Louis. And eventually, and don't get me wrong, I made sure this happened, I played with him.
That's awesome.
You know?
That's awesome.
And he didn't know that I was a fanboy.
Yeah, right.
And then I would imagine within the first 20 seconds, it became clear. He's like, oh God, I got a fanboy with me. But then we just talked baseball for the next however many holes. And at some point, can I actually picture the hole where we're having this conversation? I asked him, because he played for some great managers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at Willie McGee's career, but specifically, he played for both La Russa and Whitey Herzog, and he just raved about Whitey. I said, who is your favorite manager? He said, without question. He goes, he let us do our thing, treated us like adults, you know, get here on time, play hard, and that's it.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. And that's what those guys did. Man, was that fun. I'd do anything to see that style of baseball back, because I think it'd work.
Yeah.
But he created fans of the game. Yes, they won, but it was the excitement that created the fans of the game. So we'll have tributes to Whitey Herzog throughout the course of today's show, and I'm sure throughout the course of the day here on 101 ESPN. As I said, Dan McLaughlin, Randy Carricker, Brooke Grimsley, and Matt Rocchio with the news at the tail end of the opening drive that Whitey Herzog has passed away at the age of 92. It is 10:13 in St. Louis. We will take a commercial break and come back with more of Balloon Party here on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party, 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel. Many people have gathered in the YouTube chat to talk it over today as news breaking this morning that Whitey Herzog has passed away at the age of 92. The White Rat, inducted into Baseball Hall of Fame in 2010. Led the Cardinals to a world championship in 1982 and pennants in 85 and 87, and created a style of baseball that made children of the 1980s fans of the game for a lifetime, with the speed and the defense and putting the opposition on notice from the moment they arrived at the cavernous Busch Stadium. It's a style of baseball that I loved watching, and I know many of you did as well. And we have fond memories of somebody who created excitement throughout summers in the 1980s in St. Louis. Your tributes are welcome via the Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. Diehard Cubs fan here with total respect for Whitey. Baseball lost a true legend today. Whitey and Willie McGee and some other players came fishing at the pond behind our house. They were having a few cool ones, and Willie fell out of the boat and got soaking wet. Whitey was more than a coach. He was a dad and a brother to the players. That's from the 314. It is a sad day in Cardinal Nation. RIP Whitey. That is from the 314. From the 618, went to Cooperstown with my buddies to watch him get inducted. It was awesome, but our flight got canceled out of Albany on Sunday night. Then met him on the airplane the next day. He was in first class, obviously, but shook his hand and briefly chatted. He could not have been nicer. That is from the 618. From the 573, I remember also in Whitey's first season with the Cardinals that there was a strike mid-season. They had the best overall record for the season in the NL East, but MLB used the division winner from each half, and the Cardinals finished second in both halves, so we got screwed out of another playoff run under him. That is a little fun fact for no and tell. Did you know that, Jackson? See, everything that predates me in my memory in 82.
I had no idea.
But the work stoppage here, the Cardinals had, Whitey would always talk about that, the best overall record in the season, but Major League Baseball, because of the work stoppage, split up the year into, so they had four playoff teams.
Okay.
And so the Cardinals were not the winner of either of the halves, even though they had the most wins.
So,
and so they were left out of another potential playoff run. Fun
so
facts
weird.
For no one tell.
That's so weird.
Let's see what we got here. You want to talk about how to make me tune in more often to baseball? Play Whitey ball. Otherwise, the Blues and City are more engaging to watch. That's from Andrew. One of my favorite Whitey memories was when Whitey pulled Templeton into the dugout after he flipped my section off against the Giants. Ozzy was born. LOL. The Cardinals of the 80s are my favorite memories of Whitey. Whitey ball was baseball. RIP White Rat. That is from the 636. Tim, dang, he and Jack Buck, how lucky am I to have grown up with them teaching me baseball? That's from Lisa, and you always describe her as
a gem.
As a gem. Born in 83, I am a championship baby, and I am the youngest person alive that actually remembers seeing Whitey in the dark red slick jacket full of sunflower seeds. That's from the 618. Loved the couple times I saw Whitey hold court at the Missouri Bar and Grill. That had to be a treat. That's from the 314. Your tributes are welcome as well via the Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. 4-6. And then, of course, you're also welcome to participate in the YouTube chat, in which there are plenty of people talking it over in there as well, at YouTube. And it's the 101 ESPN channel. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you here on the program. And you are welcome to get involved on the program as the Cardinals beat the A's last night. I would have loved to have seen. They kind of overlapped a little bit. The A's got it going in 88. Should have, I'm sure Tony La Russa would be the first one to say, should have beaten the Dodgers in 88, probably should have won at least three World Series. They only won one with those teams. I would have loved to have seen Whitey Herzog's Cardinals against Tony La Russa's A's and the contrast in styles. And they nearly overlapped. The Cardinals didn't have anything going in 88, but they were in the mix in 1989, and the Giants wound up beating the Cubs in the NLCS that year. Will Clark with a famous game at Wrigley Field. But I would have loved to have seen that style of baseball against the Oakland A's and a team that still, I mean, they did win a World Series, but you want to talk about missed opportunities in baseball. It's the Atlanta Braves and their run and only winning one World Series, and the Oakland A's. And although theirs was more brief, it was certainly signature. You felt like the Oakland A's were, you know, superhuman watching them. And I would have loved to have seen them come to St. Louis and play the 1980s run in Redbirds.
You talk about a similar thing with the greatest show on turf, Rams, and like the 99 Ravens, like the deep, the 2000
Ravens,
styles.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, the 99 Rams first game was actually Kurt Warner's first win as a starter. It was against Ray Lewis and the Ravens. Fun fact for no one to tell. Yeah, I would have loved to have seen, because the Rams offense was incredible in 2000. The Ravens defense was incredible. But both of their other sides of the ball were dreadful. Right. The Rams defense in 2000 and the Ravens offense with Trent Dilfer. And I think Tony Banks might have been in there as
Tony
well.
Bank.
Tony Bank, sure. And what that would have led to. So, man, I loved it. I can't. This one hits.
Yeah, man.
For anybody who is around my age and grew up in St. Louis as a baseball fan. But even if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, you loved the 1980s Cardinals. So, yeah, I just found this out as we were heading down the hallway, and our executive producer, Mike Ryder, let me know, and Randy Carricker and Dan McLaughlin, Brooke Grimsley and Matt Rocchio were talking about it on the opening drive right at the end of the show. So Whitey Herzog passing at the age of 92. I mean, he created a generation of Cardinal fans and some people who tried to kind of, you know, and understandably so, by the way, you know, imitation is the greatest form of flattery, right?
Yeah, right.
So plenty of teams wanted to try to do it, but nobody did it like Whitey Herzog.
Yeah, right.
And the 1980s Cardinals. All right, Jackson, let me see what we got here. 10:25, let's talk about the Cardinals and the A's last night. Go ahead with your first question.
Hell of an outing by Sonny Gray. I don't care if it's the lowly A's. 6 shutout innings and 72 pitches against any major league team is nothing to sneeze at. Good to see Arenado and Walker with some RBIs. My main question, though, is about the state of the Oakland baseball franchise. Reported attendance of 5,500.
Take the under.
Yeah, hard to believe that. But even so, having 5,000 or less people at a pro sporting event is brutal. How would you summarize the MLB and Athletics ownership's handling of the A's over the last 5 to 10 years? And do you think there's a chance that they stay in Oakland and start a new team in Vegas? I know it might sound whimsical, but I just feel the fans in Oakland deserve a sports team and shouldn't lose three teams in a decade.
I don't. I mean, when it comes to relocation, I feel like there's two sides of the story. And I would include that actually with the Rams here in St. Louis. I wouldn't be surprised if there is more to the story between now and whenever the first pitch is thrown in Las Vegas, whether it be by the Las Vegas Athletics or an expansion team in Las Vegas. In other words, I don't necessarily think this is over. I don't think it's a lock that they're going to Sacramento and then going to Las Vegas. I like that. I feel like when teams pick up and leave now, unless it's a situation like, for example, the Arizona Coyotes, which has been a disaster from really the beginning, that fans around the country go, hold on a second, this isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would have liked that to have gone on in January of 2016.
Yeah, agreed.
But there's more sympathy, I think, for the fans losing their team than before. And in Oakland, they feel like that was kind of a version of the movie Major League, in which they tanked, the owner's garbage, and now the fans lose a team. And I think also because they've lost the Warriors to San Francisco and the Raiders to Las Vegas, there's even more sympathy for Oakland. But I mean, I was at that stadium and I saw the A's play the Mariners in 2001. And I remember thinking, man, this is a brutal ballpark. And the fact that they're still in there 23 years later, that's mind blowing to me.
Yeah, it is crazy. And more so on like last night's game in particular, like you had Sonny Gray starting his career in Oakland and then getting his 100th win there in the Coliseum. And I really, Derek Gould wrote a piece this morning. I really liked Sonny Gray's quote. Like, you guys don't know this place like I know this place. And
Foul territory.
Yeah, a lot of foul territory. And, you know, he's like, it's kind of like, you know, it's a crummy place, but it's like our crummy place, you know. And I kind of like that from Sonny Gray, a guy who kind of embodies that, like, I'm going to make the best out of this no matter what it is. And great outing by him last night. Like I said, man, like, I understand it's the A's.
What he's doing, it's just dominant.
Yeah, it's so much, like, composure and control up there.
I don't know if there's been a stress inning yet in the 11 shutout innings he's thrown. I think I'm going to put this to you.
Okay.
The last time, and again, it's two starts, but this isn't like, this would be different if this were Kyle Gibson. That's not a shot at Kyle Gibson. It's just, that's just not who Kyle Gibson is, nor is it really ever who Kyle Gibson was. Uh-huh. He's carrying it over from a near Cy Young season last year. With that established, the last time we've seen this kind of dominance from a Cardinal starter, I think, is
Carpenter? Maybe Waino?
I'd say Jack Flaherty's second half of 2019.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what that does for rotation is the following. Number one, it increases your win probability exponentially anytime you take the ball. But the other thing is, if you are coming into a game in which the bullpen is gassed from previous outings, you have a guy who is the proverbial stopper. And Wainwright played that role over his career. Carpenter, who you made reference to, certainly played that role as well. And when you have that, that has a domino effect on other starts, just like having a dreadful spot in your rotation has a domino effect the other direction. And if you're going to get that, and I'm not expecting this kind of run, I mean, that would be a phenomenon that would just never happen in baseball. But if you are going to have him be able to give you 6+ of 1 or 2 run baseball on the vast majority of his starts, what that does, that's huge, man. That is absolutely huge. That goes without saying, because you go, okay, well, then that means that the 30 times he takes the ball this year, there's a good chance the Cardinals are going to win 20+. But also the impact it has on giving the bullpen a breather, and what that allows for the Cardinal manager to reset when you have a guy you can count on in Sonny Gray. So it's fun to watch.
Agreed,
I love seeing it. Next time he'll take the ball, I'll be against the Brewers this weekend in St. Louis. 10:30 in St. Louis. You are welcome to give your thoughts throughout the course of the program. Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. The YouTube channel, the cameras sponsored here in the studio by the Air Alliance team, talking it over in the YouTube channel. 120 friends of the feather gathered. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party, 101 ESPN. The program is presented to you by Munganess St. Louis Acura, Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. First half of today's show, a tribute to the late, great Whitey Herzog, passing away at the age of 92. That news just coming out at the tail end of the opening drive with Randy Carricker, Dan McLaughlin, Brooke Grimsley, and Matt Rocchio. And we are reading your tributes to the White Rat throughout the course of today's show. 314-399-9646, Air Comfort Service text line, and the YouTube chat, 101 ESPN YouTube chat. That is where you can participate. Too young to remember the 1960s World Series teams, but attended the 1982 playoffs in the World Series. Still have tickets from both. RIP, Whitey. Great times and even better memories. That is from the 618. So sad to hear about Whitey Herzog passing. One of the best Cardinals from one of the best Cardinal baseball eras. Thanks to him. That is from Flocky the Smurf. So glad we got to see him one last time on opening day. Loved Whitey Ball. R.I.P. White Rat. Yeah, he was at opening day, Jackson, but he was upstairs.
That was, yeah, that's how I remember it, that he was not on the field, but he was at the ballpark.
Went to the 1983 Baseball Writers Dinner after they won the World Series. I was walking around getting autographs, walked up to Whitey and Tommy Lasorda holding court. Whitey saw me out the corner of his eye when Tommy was telling an off-colored story. He said, "What do you need, kid?" "Well, you're in Mr. Lasorda's autograph, if I can get him." They both signed really quickly and then said, "I don't want to hear from your mother, so you better leave now." That's from the 618. My 20s was a magical time to be a Cardinals fan, and this comes from somebody who shows a picture of their 1982 World Series ring. I was born in October of 1987. Baby pics from the hospital. I had Cardinal clothes on from the hospital. Having three older brothers, they made sure I knew Whitey Ball. St. Louis lost a truly beautiful person. R.I.P. White Rat. Your tributes are welcome as well. 314-399-9646. Whitey Herzog passing away at the age of 92. The 2010 Hall of Famer always will be remembered in St. Louis for not only the 82 World Championship, the 85 pennant, the 87 pennant, but the style of baseball that was exciting as anything I personally have witnessed in my life as a baseball fan. Jackson, you are in the midst of discussing Cardinal baseball, the win last night in Oakland, and a wide variety of other questions on today's Tuesday.
This is Tuesday Topics.
Tuesday Topics.
Tuesday Topics.
Nice.
I think this question actually kind of fits in nicely to our discussion on the great Whitey Herzog and why he resonated so well with St. Louis fans. We talked last week about St. Louis athletes joining forces to do a podcast, and that certainly got the mind churning. When looking at the best athletes or coaches in this case that resonate with the St. Louis fan base, what are some of the characteristics that people gravitate towards regardless of their performance on the field, and do you think that translates to other market, or is it independent to St. Louis?
Intriguing. Could you give me an example?
Like Whitey Herzog, you always talk about how Whitey was in like the Busch beer commercials on the boat, hanging out, and how down to earth he was, and he felt like one of, obviously from New Athens, Illinois, right across the river. There is those character. Adam Wainwright is another one where he's got that. He's got some of the characteristics of gregarious leadership, super involved in the community. I think some of these things, Ozzie Smith, you want to talk about someone who's involved with the community, living here years after he retired. I just want to like some of those characteristics that people in St. Louis really gravitate towards that might be different than what someone
hey,
in
I like this. I like
New
this
York
question.
Or LA.
Now I understand it better. I think one, I think Willie McGee, for example, and so if you look at it, there is a certain constant, I think, even though the players or managers, coaches, whomever, that are beloved, there is an appreciation for their greatness on the field, on the ice, on the court. The constant is an appreciation of this area, which I think, understandably so, feels like it's overlooked nationally, and then a sense of humility.
Yeah.
So that, I think, is appreciated because I think that is a value that is appreciated here more so than other markets with professional teams. Not across the board. That's not universal. But I think that's something that stands out to me.
Yeah. I think someone who probably gets underappreciated because of how bad the team around him was for so many years, especially like, you know, post 05 Rams, not much to be excited about. But I always thought Steven Jackson really resonated with fans around here because he's a real workmanlike mentality, score a touchdown, flip the ball to the official kind of guy, keep his head down, work hard. And people, he had so many great seasons. Just when you have such a bad team around you, it's tough. But I always felt people really gravitated towards Steven Jackson.
Other names coming in on this question. Bernie Federico, Craig Berube, Oscar Sundquist, Rex Hudler. That's a nice random one, but a good play. Let's see. It all started with Jack Buck and Stan Musial. That is from the 314. Yeah, there's some personality traits there. I mean, you talk about humility. I mean, there's one of the greatest ball players of all time and was as humble as it absolutely could possibly get. So, I mean, listen, everybody's got different traits, but if there's a constant thread that, and then also an appreciation, even though, you know, Whitey is a St. Louisan, I don't view it as you had to grow up in St. Louis City or St. Louis County to be a St. Louisan, he's from the area. But, you know, everybody else I have named so far here, whether they were the ones that I was thinking of or the ones that that are being texted into the show, did not grow up here. And yet I still think they would consider St. Louis as a home or their home. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an appreciation from St. Louisans when people make St. Louis one of their homes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's been a somewhat of a history of players playing here for a long time, staying with St. Louis Cardinals especially, plenty of lifelong Cardinals players, and then also living here afterwards. And I think that's, you know, when you become ingrained in the community and understand, like, especially like you said, if you're from another place, St. Louis, it's a Midwestern town, landlocked, you might not think of it as some bustling metropolis, but when you appreciate that the fans are so invested into the teams and how it's part of the city's identity, and you both share gratefulness for that and are a part of it, I think fans really, really gravitate towards that.
Your thoughts are welcome. 314-399-9646, Air Comfort Service text line. And to participate in the YouTube chat, the Airlines Team Cameras, YouTube channel 101 ESPN. It is 1044 in St. Louis. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers. Final segment of Balloon Party coming up here on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you on the program. BK and Ferrario at the top of the hour. Jackson, we are in the midst of a Little Piddles Tuesday topics.
That's right. And wow. Speaking of BK and Ferrario, they have Clint Hurdle, who played for Herzog, on at noon. So you'll hear from former player of Whitey Herzog at noon on BK and Ferrario. We are in the midst of these Tuesday topics, and I'm going to go, a lot of places to go here.
Awkward pause. I'm picking up a read. If anybody else is, I don't know.
I want to talk about
pick up a read.
I want to talk about something that kind of bothered me over
we
the weekend.
We should form a syndicate and play poker together and just take down people like Matt Damon and Worm did in rounders 98, 96. I'm going to say 97 to get me 96.
I think it's 97. 97.
All right, so they shipped it. All right, what is your question?
I want to talk about something that kind of has bothered me over the weekend.
Oh,
it leads
okay.
to a bigger
ladies
question.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jackson's Grievances. I want to tell you about the drive-thru.
You once had a grievance at the drive-thru, I remember a year or two ago. Bench-clearing brawls have often fascinated me, and last weekend had a prime example of why I think it's so silly. On Saturday, the Dodgers led the Padres 1-0 in the fifth inning after a 2-hour-and-15-minute rain delay. Dodgers pitcher Gavin Stone was working on a perfect game when he threw an inside heater to Padres Jurickson Profar. Profar took exception to the inside pitch, shouting at Stone and causing Dodgers catcher Will Smith to try to defuse the situation. Why would Stone throw the guy when working on becoming the 25th human in Major League history to throw a perfect game? He wouldn't. Profar was candidly acting like an ass. Either way, players pour out of the dugouts based upon some tradition that causes a harmless situation to often to grow into a much worse affair. And even dumber than that, the bullpen pitchers come in running 350 plus feet because how can we have a real throwdown without bullpen catchers? Do you find the bench clearing element to baseball as dumb as I do? Second, which sport outside of hockey has the best scraps?
Let's see. I'm going to take the first one first. I can speak with firsthand experience because I was playing with the Stockholm Legion team. Was that 92 or 93?
It's a little before rounders.
And we were down in Festus for a doubleheader on a Saturday night, and the whole town came out, and they were cheering against our ball club. I didn't get as much playing time as my zero batting average, in my opinion, justified.
Right, I agree.
And so I would thank you. And so I would spend my time on the bench. And I would go through a box of Everlasting Gobstoppers, just like Stan Musial. And I didn't really have a lot of chemistry on the team either. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily feel like...
Not a glue guy by chance?
Nope. And I really was irritated with the fact that I was even playing, and playing means occupying a spot on the roster. And candidly, I bet they were irritated I was occupying a spot on the roster as well. And we just had different life values, I think, is the way I would summarize it. And for whatever reason, our team had decided that was the night we were going to scrap with this ball club. And I recall the decision was made, a pitch was thrown inside, and our second baseman threw the aluminum bat at the pitcher like a javelin.
God.
And then charged the mound. And then the other guys occupying the bench with me then ran out there. And I just kept eating the gobstoppers. And I got to be honest with you, 30 years later, I do the same thing.
Yeah, what are you going to do out there? That's the thing.
Well, especially what am I going to do?
Right.
But just in general, now let's say you're of normal human size and you're not eating gobstoppers and you occasionally do play and contribute to the team. I think that's what it is. You don't want to be the guy who doesn't go out there.
But it's so asinine.
Okay,
so
then you support me in eating my gobstoppers.
Absolutely, it's so asinine. Like especially the Profar situation, because he was obviously so. The guy's working on a perfect game. Why would he throw at you? It's so dumb. Either way, him and Will Smith had a conversation, and then the benches just feel the need to fly out there. In any other sport, basketball, hockey, football, if players on the bench left the bench and went onto the playing surface to go scrap, they would all be ejected.
About one out of 25 lead to an all-out.
Right, a Donnybrook.
Yes.
Yeah, but most, it's just guys standing there.
Right. I love when there's real tension between teams.
Yes,
an example I use, 2003 Cardinals with La Russa and Dusty Baker screaming at each other.
A video of that.
And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Cardinal clubhouse, Jeff Fusaro acknowledged that he threw at somebody on the Cubs. And he's like, yeah, I did. I don't care. What are you going to do? I'm like 43 years old at this point. What are they going to do? I don't, you know, find me. I don't care. I think that's what happened, if memory serves. And it was like, oh my God, he admitted he threw. Everybody else knows that guys get thrown at and pitchers are throwing at guys. Sometimes the problem is the guy is clearly throwing at a guy and he misses so badly, he throws behind him, and then they never get the shot.
Yeah, it's true.
So I don't know. I mean, I love the game.
Sure.
And I recognize that the game has some things that when you take a step back outside of the bubble of being a baseball fan, you go, yeah, that's pretty dumb.
It's so like, imagine you're the bullpen and the coach has to unlatch the gate so you can go sprint 400 feet into a scrap that you have. But there's probably guys who went in to go take a leak and they have to come out and like, where'd everyone go? Oh, I have to go fight now. Yeah. Like, it's just so odd to me that situations get blown out of proportions because benches have to clear.
You've had enough of this baseball brawl.
That's just, it's lame at this point. All Having right. said that, I think baseball actually has the best scraps out of any sport outside of hockey.
All right.
So, I mean, it's kind of, I'm putting my foot in my mouth here, but like, what was it? Jose Bautista caught a two-piece from maybe Lindor. Caught him clean.
Yeah,
you're not going to find much better scrapping outside of that.
We're going to shut down today's program a little earlier because George Brett is going to join BK and Ferrario right at the top of the hour. Great. I'm going to be listening to that.
Absolutely. That's
George Brett, of course, played for Whitey Herzog, played against him in the 85 World Series, and that will be one hell of an interview as the Hall of Famer talks about his Hall of Fame manager. As Jackson made reference to, former manager and former Cardinal Clint Hurdle at 12 o'clock. I would imagine you'll have some wonderful tributes coming in throughout the day here on 101 ESPN to the great Whitey Herzog, who passed away at the age of 92. So George Brett will be joining BK and Ferrario in a matter of moments, and that will be an interview you will want to hear here on 101 ESPN. Time for us to shut it down. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.